Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor, I have to say I don't have all of my scriptures memorized today. But wasn't that special last week?
Yes.
John, thank you. That was very nice. Before we get into my message today, and I'm going to be talking about we look but we do not see, we listen but we do not hear. And that's what a lot of our message is in the scripture. So let's paraphrase a little bit of what the story is. Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with his saliva. He anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed and came back seeing. I mean, great story, isn't it? Okay. How dare Jesus heal a man on the Sabbath? That's work. You know, they're... One of the things about law is always interesting, I think. Like being blind. Isn't that the way all of us think about things sometimes? Since partially losing the sight in my right eye, I realized how much that sight means to me. I didn't realize what it meant to not be able to see well. You know, despite all the things going on in the world, the reports, the news, you know, we're living in the dark. How many of you know, and I'm going to be talking about this in a second, you realize the Ukrainians attacked the Admiral Kunetsov in the harbor of St. Petersburg, put mines on the ship and blew up the front part of it, it's their aircraft carrier? How many of you knew that? How many of you knew that Belarus, which was an ally of Russia, okay, attacked the Russian settlements on its border yesterday? This thing is getting bigger and bigger all the time, but it is really turning into a civil war. The International Court just put a warrant out for the arrest of Putin. That we probably know. But when we look at this, why don't we know? Good question, isn't it? You know, look at conspiracy theories. There's of them there all the time. Well, there's an emphasis on theories, okay? But, you know, the reports of a shadow government that controls the world behind the visible government scares me. You realize that the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the President are not briefed on everything that the military is doing? Stephen Greer, who is the guy that does aliens, okay, has briefed the President for the last four presidents because they have been told they have no need to know about aliens. Huh? No. Well, but not totally. He and I talked about that. Why? Why doesn't the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff know what's going on in the military? Is there a shadow government? Yes. But I don't know why. So we're at the mercy of things we can't see and forces we can't control. You know, our senses don't provide any protection against this problem, not even the sense of sight on which we're so dependent. But you know, this isn't a problem for Jesus, is it? Jesus sees. He not only sees our world with its chaos, confusion, uncertainty, and the evil that's in it, but he also sees the death toll that evil leaves. Alright, so Jesus sees a man. He's a blind man. That's how John 9 begins. as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Verse 1. You and I might have walked by somebody like that and looked at him and said, oh, that's sad. Isn't that awful? You know, are we the Good Samaritan in this case? No. It's easy to say, oh, that's bad, and just keep right on the line. Or you go and you try and help. That's how Pastor Danny and I met. He was having trouble getting stuff into his car. I went over to help him get it in, picked him up when he almost fell. And he says, hi, I'm chatting with Danny Oaks. And I said, hi, I'm Pastor Steve Geiger. So we had an interesting day that day. We stood out there and talked for about 40 minutes.
It was a God moment, brother.
No, I think so too. But God knows we've done that so many times to our own shame. You know, it's often hard to see a man for what they are and what they really need, isn't it? That's why the fact that Jesus sees that real man is so striking. The man doesn't escape his notice. No man, woman, or child escapes Jesus' notice. He sees you too, in your darkness, your need, your isolation, just as he sees me. The disciples see the blind man as well. But they see him differently than what Jesus does. They can't see how the man shows the works of God in him. That's verse 3. You know, we struggle with that kind of thing too. We struggle to see, even by faith, that God can display his works through individual deformities, illnesses, and trials. You know, Pat and I have talked a lot. Why does God allow evil in the world? Well, we live in a broken world. Okay, after the fall of man, it allowed evil into the world. But it's so we can also see God through his works in the lives of the people in the world. How many of you have been blessed by the Holy Spirit? Okay. See what I mean? So you're a witness in your life of God showing the miracles in your life. By the way, Linda, are you feeling better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Did the Holy Spirit help with that, or just the doctor?
No.
Here you go. So, what did the disciples see displayed in the man born blind? Did they try and help him? No. Do they see the works of God in him? No. Do they see the works of the devil in him, or the fall into sin? No. For them, the man is a theological issue. What do I mean by a theological issue? It's not showing care or concern, is it? It's just, he's born blind. And so who sinned to make him that way? His parents or him? Well, since he was born blind, how did he sin? Interesting question, isn't it? Verse 2. I love Jesus' answer. Neither. You know, it wasn't that this man sinned or that his parents sinned. But it's so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Not what we or the disciples expect to hear. What do the works of God have to do with a man born blind? Can we help him? No. So do we worry about it? No. Well, he's doing okay as a beggar. At least he's earning a living. See what I'm getting at? But the thing is that God asks us to try. Remember when we took Megan into our house for a year? We tried to help. Turned around and bit us, but we tried to help. Well, how can God's works be displayed in that man? And do Jesus' works, Jesus doing God's work, apply to us today? Well, of course it does. But Jesus is not done. Jesus says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Works of God are the works that Jesus does for us. Is Jesus with us today?
You bet.
Of course he is. I had one pastor one time, no matter how many people in the church, he added one. Why? Because Jesus is with us. If not, then why are we here? See what I'm getting at? You know, the Father sent his Son into the world, not to condemn it, but to save it. Jesus Christ truly is the light of the world. And I like it that he says, he's the light of the world in the daylight, not at night. That means his light shines during the day. It's an interesting way of putting it. Why? Does he work during the day for us? Yes. Is that work the light that he's doing for us? Yes. All right. Jesus includes the disciples and the church in these works too. In other words, us, all y'all. We must work the works of him who sent me. That's verse 4. He says, all right, I'm doing this. Now it's your turn. All y'all get out there and work. Well, I'm 80 years old. Well, I'm 70 years old. I got a bad back. I got to use the chair today because my knee hurts. Yeah. Excuses are easy, aren't they? Okay. When's the last time you talked to somebody about the church this week? Danny, how many times did you talk to somebody about this church last week?
At least 150, 200. Everybody I talked to, I had 3 classes. And I believe that sowing the seed will give the increase.
Oh, I do too. I do too. I talk to people all the time. I always embarrass Peggy. That's for sure. Because I'll start talking to somebody. And I witness a little bit different. I just start talking with somebody. And we get around. I said, you know, what do? I'm a Lutheran pastor. Okay. I said, you go to church? Well, yeah, I go to that sometimes. Church. Oh, that's wonderful. You been there lately? Well, no. Why not? And I get them talking. Because the thing is, they don't want to hear me talk. I want to hear them talk. Because they'll tell you what they want or need. You know, Zig Ziglar says about sales, if you can get people to tell you what they want or need, they'll move heaven and earth to get it. Okay? Do we all need and want Jesus?
Yes.
Even the Jews, when I sang in that choir in the synagogue, he's a prophet. Do they need Jesus? They quote him in the synagogue. I was so surprised by that. Of course, the pastor the rabbi was a very big New Testament scholar, too, and there was 10 of us that were Christians. But, like he said in his sermon one time, Jesus was a good man, and we can learn from him. How about that in a synagogue? All right. I was doing some thinking about how do I do this? We've talked about the cross, you know, how do I come up with a new way to get this message across? Well, George asked me a real interesting question Wednesday. Didn't know you were going to be quoted, did you? And it was about 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, where Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit is a gift to us through faith. And what George asked me, he said, is that word gift grace or is it gift? Well, I've always known it as gift, but the thing is that I don't know the entire Greek, so I went home and did some research this week. Found it very interesting. So in other words, how does this word help us about gift, help us to see and hear? All right. I looked up, first of all, in the ESV. The English Standard Version was translated by the Lutheran churches. All of them together. So the ESV is a Lutheran translation. That's why we use it most of the time. NIV is a Calvinist translation. Anytime you translate the Bible, I don't care if it's the Lutheran one, the Calvinist one, or anything, you got an agenda. And you let that agenda come through. In Greek, the word is charismat. Charismat. What does that sound like? Charisma. It's where the word comes from. In Greek, in this version, it means a free gratuity. All right, which is translated as gift. All right, so when the Holy Spirit comes to us and brings us the gift of faith, it's a free gratuity. Now stop and think. How did Jesus die on the cross? What did he do for us? He redeemed us, didn't he? All right, and I've mentioned this before. You know, S&H green stamps. Let's go back to our childhood. What'd you have to do to those? You redeemed them for good stuff, right? For you people that are too young, what it used to be, you went to the store, and whenever you bought something, you got S&H green stamps. You kept a book of them. When you filled out the book, you turned it in. My mom got her set of china through S&H green stamps. But it was something we all did. I mean, but we redeemed. All right, when you redeem something, you're paying for something. Okay? And in the Bible dictionary, redeem means to ransom. So when Jesus went to the cross, he ransomed us from sin, death, and power of the devil, right? Okay. So we are looking at this word charisma. Okay? Charisma in Greek. So, that's the free gift from God through faith. It's also, now here's what I found interesting, George. It's also the same basis as the word for grace in Greek. Alright? So, the free gratuity and grace come from the same basic word. So, in some respects, you were right in that question. But you didn't know that. Good question. I like it when I learn stuff too. You know, that's one of the blessings of being a pastor. Not only do I read all the time and share that with you, but many times you guys help me too in my walk with the Lord. It's a partnership. Okay? All right. But let's look about how this applies to the situation. All right. Jesus displays the works of God in that man born blind. But in a way that seems far more earthy and gritty than spiritual. Ash Wednesday, we always say, from dust you have come, and to dust you shall return. How does Jesus heal the blind man? He took mud, he took dust, spit in it, made a paste, put it on the guy's eye. Ah, mud, water. Gee, that sounds familiar. I wonder what that could be. Baptism. Okay? And Jesus is the Word made flesh. So in this, we have mud, we got water, we have the Word. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a sacrament, isn't it? Okay. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of, I don't know if it's Siloam or Siloam. I didn't look it up. So he went and washed and came back seeing, verses 6 and 7. Out of the dust and spit, Jesus makes mud, and then from the mud, he makes a healing salve, and then he sends the muddy-eyed blind man into the water with a word from God, and now he sees. So it just shows, I think, who Jesus is, not just with the word, but it's a miracle of faith. It's the miracle of the works of God coming through Jesus to us. Now, Pharisees got their doubts, don't they? First of all, how dare you heal that man on the Sabbath? Let's see. You took a guy born from the birth, and you healed him so he could see, but it's a sin because it's done on the Sabbath. Okay, now stop and think about that. You know, it's like I heard a rabbi say one time, you know, it's just like if you had a donkey fell into the well, and on the Sabbath, what do? You pull him out. But that's work, yeah, but you don't leave the donkey in there to die. See what I'm getting at? When Jesus heals, is it work on the Sabbath? Yes. Is it blessed work of God? Yes. But Jesus goes on, and I love this. But the blind man makes a pretty compelling case for Jesus. And this is what he says. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, Jesus, God listens to him. God healed the man's eyes. And he goes on to say, never since the beginning of the world has anyone heard of a blind man having his eyes open. If this man were not from God, now I'm quoting, he could do nothing. Remember when Gamaliel, in the book of Acts, after Jesus died, the apostles go out and are preaching Jesus. They're all arrested and taken to the Sanhedrin. Pharisees look at him. You know, we are going to put you to death. And Gamaliel stands up. Now, Gamaliel's in the Sanhedrin. He ran the rabbinical school in Jerusalem. He was Paul's teacher. What does he say? Anybody remember? Pastor, you remember?
I can't remember that.
Yeah, David.
I think they said that if this is a flash in the pan, it'll go away.
If it's from man, it'll go away. If it's from God, it will last. And now we're 2,000 years later. Are we still talking about it?
Amen.
See what I'm getting at? Okay. So, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Now, throughout John 9, the question of who sinned and the works of God keep on coming up. Because nobody believed in this time period, it's like numerology, that if something bad happened to you, somebody had to sin, and it had to be the wages of sin. You had to get blamed for something. And how can this be a work of God? Especially if it's done on the Sabbath. The Pharisees are trying to turn the gospel of the word of Jesus into the law of Judaism. How many times have I talked about the difference between law and God? Natalie, one of the things I did as a pastor, when I was ordained, I took the old oath, which is I want to preach, teach, and confess the difference between law and God. Okay? Because we are not saved by the law, we're saved by the gospel. But we need the law to lead us to the gospel. Okay? But we're not saved by it. So let me ask you this. Was that work on the Sabbath a sin, or was it the work of God? The work of God. So Jesus isn't a sinner, is he? And if he's not a sinner, then just what or who is he? Especially for these people that are being exposed to Jesus for the first time. Can't you imagine? Boy, he saved somebody on the Sabbath, but he got that blind man to see. Well, is it a sin or not? Well, I don't think so. Well, if he's not a sinner, who is he? Can't you hear people talking? I mean, let's face it, there's no radio, there's no TV, there's no newspaper. Okay? People pass the word among themselves. All right, so here's three questions I want to ask again. The works of God are displayed not only in the blind man seeing, but even more in the blind man seeing Jesus. Remember the whole idea of this look but do not see? He looks and sees. The Pharisees, the disciples, look and they don't see. Okay? Just consider what happens to this blind man throughout our reading. First, he confesses what the man called Jesus did. How he made mud, he anointed his eyes, and sent him to the pool of Siloam, and he received his sight. Okay? Boy, he sees Jesus as a remarkable man. You know, because he says that. He's a great man. Then asked again, and the blind man who says to Jesus, he's a prophet. Alright, so he went from just a man to a prophet. You with me? Later on, he speaks words which he declares that Jesus is from God. Man, prophet, God. He's putting it together, isn't he? He's seeing, looking and seeing. Finally, when Jesus found him, he confessed his faith in the Son of God. And what did he say? Lord, I believe. And then he worshiped Jesus. He made the connection that Jesus is God. Good example, isn't it? And so the works of God, I think, are really displayed in the man who was blind, and when he believes in Jesus, he now truly sees for the first time. His eyes are open, he looks, and he sees. You know, through us, the works of God are displayed in a world. Okay? Because this is where I said it. Does this have any relevance for today? Sure it does. It's us. Okay? Do we see Jesus? I hope so. Do we share what we see? There's the tough thing. Sometimes. But the thing is, we all have our own strengths. But the thing is, the Great Commission, it says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, does it say, all right, pastors, you go. Go ye. Go all y'all. Okay? It's not easy sometimes. And I've been talking a long time today, so I apologize. But, folks, if he could open the eyes of the blind man, can he open our eyes? I really think that the works of God are these, and I read this in one of the early church fathers as I was getting ready, to give sight to the spiritually blind that they might see Jesus who sees them. Jesus sees all of us. And if we are Christians and we open our hearts, we see through our faith. We see Jesus. So what does it mean for our time? Are the works of God able to be displayed in you as they were in the blind man? Can they be displayed even through sickness, trials, and death in people? Yes. We can't see what tomorrow will bring. But we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter, not protector, perfecter of our faith. I think for who that joy that was set before him endured the cross. I wish Betty was here. I miss that I choose joy, don't you? Okay. But Jesus despised that shame. And he went up after his resurrection and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. My friends, may this blessing of seeing and hearing through our Lord, keep your hearts and minds in the light of Jesus brought to us through the Comforter. Amen.
Amen. Amen.